Turn your Bibles, if you would, tonight, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Find your place there in the pages of God's Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And find, if you would, please, verse number 11. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 11. 1 Thessalonians is written to a local church about life in the local church. The Holy Spirit, takes the lid off the church and shows us biblical church life. And as a local church, we want to do things God's way, amen? And we want to have the right atmosphere, and we want to be doing church, so to speak, God's way. And I want to talk to you tonight about laboring together through His church. We're laboring together in the coming year, and as we celebrate 50 years in the service of the King of Kings here in King. Amen? And notice, if you would, verse number 11, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. He said, continue to bring comfort to one another and build each other up. Verse 12, and we beseech you. That word beseech is an interesting word. It's sort of like a coaching term. It has the idea of putting your arm around someone and admonishing them, encouraging them, helping them along. And he's writing to this infant church, probably church only 3 to 6 months old. And he says, and we beseech you. He said, I just want to encourage you. He said, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves, that's the church, and to all men, that's the unsaved world, without laboring together through His church. Let's pray together, and want to look at probably tonight and next week several truths that will help us. Father, I pray you'll speak to our hearts tonight. You'll challenge us. You'll challenge me tonight. I'm going to talk about what I should be to your church. Lord, what a people are to be to their pastor, and then what we're to be to one another as a local church congregation. And Father, I pray that as we look at these passages, it'll help us to grow in our understanding of church life, to be the people you'd have us to be, to accomplish that you have for us. And Lord, to have a church that honors you, as I know we do. And I pray we'd continue in that vein. And we're going to thank you for what you do in each of our lives as you admonish us personally, Father, about laboring together through your local church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, look, if you would, please, again, in verse number 12, he uses the word brethren. Brethren. I like that word, brethren. And you're going to find it's used 7 times in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17 times in the entire book. It's a family term. It reminds us, church, that we're in a family relationship. As a matter of fact, that we have a relationship, a family relationship to one another in the Lord. And I want to remind you, God is our Father. He's the Father of the saved. Amen? Now, listen, if you want God to be your Father tonight, you have to be saved. And you have to know Him. And if we're saved tonight, then God is our Father, and we're His children. As His children, we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, okay? That makes us family, right? We're the family of God. And that's important to remember, that we're the family of God. And next to being a member of the body of Christ, there's no greater relationship, no greater responsibility, spiritually speaking, than being a member of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist church like this church. And we listen, church membership is a big deal to God. Every Christian ought to be a part. Listen, we ought to be a part of the heavenly family, and we ought to be a part of a church family. Amen? There's people that are part of the heavenly family that they're not part of a church family. And I thought today, as we came together and prayed for Pat and her family, listen, that's what it means to have a church family. People in the difficult times of life to come alongside you and love you and comfort you and encourage you. I don't know what I'd do without my church family. And listen, let me just say that church membership is a big deal to God. And listen to me, church, it ought to be a big deal to every one of us. Don't take it lightly. And when God gives you a good church, you ought to be thankful for it. And the New Testament knows nothing of a believer that is not an active part of a local family of believers like this church. And that's just a fact. God doesn't give any room for us to be a part of His family without being a part of a church family. God demands and God commands that we're a part of a church like this one. I want to encourage you tonight that if you're not a part of a local church, you say, well, preacher, I come. That's a wonderful thing. And listen, there's folks that maybe you're not a member, but we count you as family because, I mean, you come every... You're, matter of fact, maybe more faithful than people that are members of our church. But listen, don't minimize the fact that you ought to be a part of it. There ought to be a commitment to it. And maybe that's your next step of faith, is to take that step of faith and unite with a local church like this local church so that you have a family of believers to love and serve and worship with and grow with, that we might be the people of God to accomplish His work in this community and around the world. Amen? We need to do that. And so we're going to talk tonight about laboring together through His church. And tonight, and the next tomorrow, it's going to be a little more instructive, more than maybe inspirational or comfort or we're going to spend some instructional time in the Word of God, because we want to understand God's plan and purposes in the local church, and then His purpose for me and you in the local church, and how we're to relate to one another. And I wanted to notice, first of all, what a pastor gives to His church. What is it, preacher, that you're to give to your local church? And you're going to find that there are three words used interchangeably of the person that is to be the spiritual leader of a local church. All right? There is pastor, all right, bishop, and elder. Those are three terms that are used in the New Testament of the individual that will lead a local church. And I want to show them to you. We're going to look at a couple of passages tonight because we want to understand this. Look, if you would, in the book of Acts. Turn to the book of Acts and find, if you would, please, chapter number 20. The book of Acts, chapter number 20. And you're going to find these words are some form of these words as it relates to what we would understand as the office of a New Testament church. Now, as a Bible-believing Baptist church, all right, here's what we believe. We believe there are two offices in a local church. Now, there may be many positions that people fill. Sunday school teachers, bus workers, treasurers, all kinds of different things. But there's two biblical offices that have qualifications, all right? That is the pastor and deacons. All right. Now you say, preacher, there's more than one person at Calvary Baptist Church that's a preacher that serves on our staff. And I'm going to explain how that operates and how that works. All right. There are other churches, they work off of a whole different system of church government. They call it a plurality of elders. They've got teaching elders and ruling elders and this kind of elder and that kind of elder. And they got all that. And let me tell you, that is not a biblical form of church government. Okay. That is what we call a Presbyterian form of church government. It's a hierarchy. All right? God didn't determine it that way. He said there's two offices of local church. That is a pastor and a deacon. Now that doesn't mean that men who serve on our staff are less of a preacher than I am. All right? They're just as much God called and important to this church as I am. And what we do it together. We're a pastoral staff. And we serve our local church. But yet, there's one pastor, and there's a body of deacons, and they are the two offices that fill the local church in that responsibility. And as the pastor, I have a biblical responsibility to you as a church. And we're going to talk about that tonight. But let's look, first of all, there's not pastors, bishops, and elders, okay? There is one person who fills three offices. Look, if you would, verse 17 of Acts chapter number 5. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now, he's talking about the different churches there in Ephesus. Okay, so he brings these men together who serve in the different house churches, the different congregations. They didn't have buildings like what we have. You're talking about the church in its infancy. They met in houses. And so, you know, how many people can you get in a house? There may have been hundreds of people in that city that were part of that church, but you can't get all 100 of them in a house. And so there might be 10 here, 15 over there, 20 over there, 5 over there. And each of them would have a person over those local churches, those churches that met in those homes during that day. Now, let me just say something. That is not a biblical mandate for a home church. Churches may meet in a house, but that's the meeting place, okay? It's not home church. I tell you, if you're not careful, you can go to seed on some things. I don't have a problem in strong families. I don't have a problem with Christian school, homeschool. I don't have anything with that, but there's no such thing as home church, where it's mom and dad's the pastor and all this. God didn't, listen, that's not biblical, folks. And we need to understand that, okay? And listen, I am the spiritual leader of my home, but I'm not the priest of my home, and sir, neither are you. You say, preacher, wait a minute, I'm the spiritual leader of my home. Absolutely, that doesn't make you God's priest. Every believer is a priest in our day. You know what that tells me? That if a child is saved at 5 years old, according to the Bible, they are a believer priest, and they have direct access to God, and their prayers are as important to God as my prayers and your prayers as adults. And they've got equal access to God that you and I have as Christians. And it's important to understand that. I remember early on, and I'm going to wax long in some of this stuff and never get through the introduction tonight, but we're instructed. Because I'm going to tell you, there's all kinds of emerging things today as people are trying to redefine the church. And we don't need to redefine what Jesus started. We need to revive it, and we need to be what God wants it to be. Amen? And the church is not an experiment. Okay, we're not experimenting with it. We want to do it God's way. All right? And understand that. And I remember I was preaching on the home, and I'm going to do some preaching on the home a little bit later on. But I was preaching on that subject, and I said, boy, I'm the provider of my home as a husband. I'm the protector of my home as a husband. And I was just waxing eloquent, and you know, because I like all P's or all S's. And I said, I'm the priest. And I preached on that, you know. And then years later, as I was understanding the priesthood of the believer, God corrected me, and I'm not the priest of my home. I'm the spiritual leader of my home. And my children, who are Christians, are believer priests, just like every person in this building. We all have equal access to God. And that's what a priest, what he means by a priest in the New Testament. Okay? Y'all with me? And so, a church may meet in a home, but there's no such thing as home church where mom and daddy and children all get together. Maybe another family joins in. We got home church. That's not biblical, folks. All right? A New Testament church is a pastor, people, and deacons that band together to carry out God's will in the world today. And it doesn't matter whether we're meeting in a wonderful, beautiful facility like this, or in a hut, or under a tarp, or under a palm tree, or under a coconut tree, or wherever that church meets, it is God's church. And we need to understand that. Now, look, if you would, he said, the elders of the church. Now look over, if you would, verse number 28. He's going to take these elders, these men of God, and he's going to challenge them. Notice he says, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves. First of all, preacher, watch yourself. Boy, it's a good time, preachers in our college, start taking some notes. You know, my first responsibility is making sure that I'm right. You see, if I'm not right, I can't lead you in the right way. I pray, God, help me to be able to say, follow me, for I follow Christ. I want to be able to lead people to God. I want to inspire people to walk with God. I want to challenge people to be everything God would have them to be. And the first order of my business, make sure I'm right, so that I can lead God's church right. And then notice what he goes on to say in verse number 28. He said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Would you underline that word overseers in your Bible? That is the new that is the verb form of the noun bishop. 1 Timothy 3:1, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. That word bishop means overseer. Now, preacher, why did he use the word bishop? What in the world, you know, when you and I think of a bishop, we think of a piece on a chess set. That's what we think of. Or we think of some kind of an individual in a kingly estate, and he's a bishop. Or maybe we think of a bishop in the Catholic. It's what we think. Why did he use the word bishop? Because in that day, when the King James Bible was translated, a bishop, everybody would immediately understood, was a landowner. He managed land for the king. Okay? The king owned the land. He would allow that bishop, that man, to be over a charge of maybe a castle and some land and the people around them. It wasn't his land, it was the king's land, but he was the manager of it. You following me? And let me just remind you, the church doesn't belong to the pastor, it belongs to God. I have the responsibility to manage it. You see what I'm saying? He was to oversee that land and make sure that the land was productive, the people cared for, and that the king was under attack, that he'd bring his soldiers to help protect the king. He was a bishop. And so that idea in their mind is somebody who oversaw something. We would use the word manager today. It is the role of the pastor to manage the local church, to lead it. I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. And then notice he goes on to say in verse 28, he said, over which the Holy Ghost made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. That word feed has the idea of shepherding or pastoring. Okay? So that is the verb form of the noun pastor. Okay? Pastor, bishop, elder. All right? I want to show you one more place where they're all three used together. Turn to 1 Peter chapter number 5. Find 1 Peter chapter number 5 and find, if you would, verse number 1. Notice he says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort. There's our word elders again. These are these men that are leading the local church, and we're going to explain what that is. And you know what Peter says? Who am also an elder. I'm an elder too. I'm a pastor too. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Here's our word, verse 2, feed the flock of God. Shepherd or pastor the flock. There it is, verb form of the noun pastor, all right? Which is among you. Now watch this. So you underline the word elders, underline the word feed. There's our word again, taking the oversight thereof. Do you know what a bishop is? He is an overseer. And so you find these words that are used in the New Testament of this one office. So God said, listen, elders, those of you who lead local churches, make sure you feed the flock and take oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And so he's giving admonition to the men of God. And he said, listen, and here's what I want you to do. And he said, this is what God's called me to do. Now, I want you to go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 because these same roles are laid out in this verse, okay? And we're going to see it together. All right? First of all, you're going to find the work of the pastor. Look, if you would, what does a pastor give to his church? Look, if you would, verse number 12. He said, and 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm going to give you a moment to get back there. I just want to lay some groundwork. Notice what he says, verse number 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. Underline the word labor. Do you know that ministering, the work of God, fellas, listen, that are preachers, let me just tell you something. The work of God is labor intensive. Listen, the Bible said if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. It is not a place for a lazy man. If you don't want to work, you don't want to labor, then don't be a preacher. Because God expects us to be men of God who labor among them. That means we're to be laboring among God's people. And listen, the word labor there has the idea of the point of exhaustion. It describes the hard work of giving pastoral care to the flock, of feeding and caring God's sheep. And so, first of all, what am I to give my church? First of all, is I'm to be a spiritual shepherd. I am to give care to the flock. And that's what our pastoral staff does, is they assist me in they work with me, and they co-labor together with me to give care to this local church. We're to be feeding and leading the people of God. Amen? That's what we're to do. Now notice something. He said, and we beseech you to know them. Notice plural. Doesn't mean that there was more than one pastor of a local church or that plurality of elders we was talking about. That there may have been more than one church in Thessalonica, which would have meant that there would have been a multiplicity of pastors serving in that town. Or it may have referred to those preachers that had come alongside the pastor to assist him in the care of God's flock. And so listen, I'm grateful tonight that for the opportunity and the privilege of being able to care for God's people. That's what He's called me to do. That's what He's given me to do. And that's what every preacher needs to realize. And if they're going to serve in a local church, they're to shepherd God's flock. And so, first of all, what is it, preacher, that you're to give to a flock? We're to shepherd God's sheep and care for His flock. It's not our flock. It's His flock. We're His sheep. We belong to Him. It's an interesting thing. As a pastor, I'm an under-shepherd and a sheep all at the same time. Isn't that an interesting thing? And so we're thankful for that. I want you to notice something else in our verse. He said to know them which labor among you. Can I just say something? As a pastor, I'm not above you. I'm among you. It's not that the pastor's up here and the people are down here. No, we're the family of God. And God may have given me some spiritual leadership and spiritual responsibility and spiritual authority. But listen, and here's the thing. Guys, I want you to get something tonight. Listen, a shepherd cannot care for his sheep if he's not among them. If he's not among them. A pastor is both over and among his flock. And successful ministry is relational ministry. And so I'm grateful. As a pastor, I have a responsibility to feed the flock of God, to shepherd God's sheep through preaching and teaching of the Word of God. You know, one of the most important things that I'm going to do on a regular basis is to step into this pulpit, open this Bible, and preach and teach and expound and explain the Word of God. Isn't that why we're here tonight? One of the most important things is a church can, I'm going to talk about giving their pastors to understanding the time it takes to prepare messages. That's why we have a team of men that serve alongside of me to help serve in these different areas to give time to the Word of God and prayer to accomplish these things. The purpose of deacons to come alongside a pastor to assist in the care of God's flock so that he has time for the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. But I'm promising you the most important thing that I'll do to this for this flock is the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And that's true of any pastor. You see, I want every time you come to this church, I want to open the Bible and have something to feed your soul. One of my goals every time, because I pastor people that's been saved. I used to could say I pastor people that's saved as long as I am old, but Brother Vernon, we're getting close to where that can't be true anymore. But the reality of it is, no matter how long you've been saved, I want to open the Bible and you learn something or be reminded of something or grow in some area of your life. Because you know what? Every one of us need to be sharpened by the Word of God. Isn't that true? Then notice, not only is he to labor among them, notice again, he's a spiritual leader. Look at verse number 12. He said, to know them which labor among you and over you. What does a pastor give to his church? First of all, he gives them as a spiritual shepherd. He cares for the flock. Then secondly, he leads the flock. He's to give spiritual leadership to God's people. That is bound up in that word bishop or overseer, a spiritual leader. That word over you means to set or to place over. It means to administrate. It means to manage. It's directing the affairs of the local church. Peter said to the men of God, taking the oversight thereof. But now wait a minute, preacher. Don't lord it over God's heritage. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the king. My family's not the royal family. It's not that we're up here and everybody. No. We're the family of God. And God's given me the responsibility to lead His flock. We're to be in samples. We're not to lord it, but to lead. A pastor's to lead his flock, not lord it. There's a difference between lording and leading. A dictator wants his will done. A pastor wants God's will done. A dictator wants to be successful. A pastor wants to be faithful. A dictator demands fellowship. A pastor deserves fellowship. A dictator wants to be a celebrity. A pastor wants to be a servant. A dictator tries to bully people. A pastor tries to bless people. It's my desire as the spiritual leader of this church to bless you, to be an encouragement, to provide leadership, to not lord but lead. God expects me to lead the flock and to find out His will for this church and to lead us to do it. And I want you to notice this phrase in verse number 12. He said, which are over you in the Lord. God said, I placed men who are over you in the Lord. You know, I don't derive my authority as a pastor from me. A pastor doesn't derive his authority from himself, but from the Lord. It's given to him by God, and it's to be used for the Lord. Jesus is the head of the church. He owns the church. He died for the church. And the pastor serves as the under-shepherd. As the people follow the leadership and the guidance of their pastor, we follow the Lord together. We labor together to accomplish His purposes in the work of God. So, what does a pastor give to his church? First of all, he gives them spiritual shepherding. Secondly, he gives them spiritual leadership. It's the responsibility of the pastor to oversee the various aspects and ministries of the local church to ensure that it honors the Lord, that it pleases Him, that it follows His will, that it accomplishes His work. And I can just be honest with you, we won't accomplish anything if I lead but you don't follow. Or if I lord. We won't accomplish anything if I lord and you flee. Does that make sense? It's not my desire to ever use the pulpit as a bullying place. I want it to be a building place. It will be a place that grows people. And then the third thing, not only does he give shepherding, not only does he give leadership, but number three, he gives an example. Look what he says in verse number 12. He said, that are over you in the Lord and admonish you. There's the elder. As a pastor, there's a spiritual caretaker of God's flock. He cares for the flock of God, ensuring the needs are met, that people are spiritually cared for and loved and ministered to. And while I can't be everywhere at one time, God gives us people, men, who come along and help accomplish those tasks. And I can tell you, it's not our desire for anybody to fall through the cracks at Calvary Baptist Church. Now, there's times I think some people want to fall through them. But it's not our desire. But you know, the reality of it is there's times that we fail. That people do fall through the cracks. There are times that people don't get ministered to. And I want you to know something. I take that personally. And we want to ensure that this church is ministered to and cared for and loved. And people are challenged and helped to be the person that God wants them to be as the people of God. Amen. And to provide spiritual leadership. As the bishop, the pastor, gives spiritual leadership to the flock. But as the elder, he's the spiritual counselor and example to God's flock. That word admonish you means a putting in the mind. It means to instruct. It's the idea of bringing the truths of the Bible to bear on the individual lives of God's people. It's the idea of correcting and challenging and charging and equipping and comforting God's people through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Folks, listen, I believe in the sufficient of the Scriptures. I believe the Bible has all that we need for living life successfully for God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, God says. It's for our good. He said for doctrine, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. And so here's what the Bible does. It's good for doctrine. It gives me a foundation. For reproof, it tells me what's wrong in my life. And then for correction, once it tells me what's wrong, it tells me how to get it right. And then instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. That the man of God, the woman of God, the person of God may be truly furnished, fully equipped unto every good work. Listen, the Bible has all that we need in accomplishing and being what God wants us to be. Amen? And it's my job as a pastor to give spiritual shepherding and spiritual leadership and being a spiritual example to God's flock. And boy, that sure is my heart. Boy, I don't want to be a bully. I want to be a blessing. I don't want to beat up God's flock. I want to build up God's flock for you to be everything God wants you to be. I pray and say, God, I pray that Christ is formed in your people. Raise up a group of people at Calvary Baptist Church that loves you and desires you and grows in you and accomplishes that. That sure is my desire. Folks, that we're rooted and grounded together in Him as a body of believers. Amen? Let me quickly say, what does a pastor give their church? He gives it shepherding and leadership and an example. He cares for the flock. He leads the flock, and he's an example to the flock. Then next, what is it that a Christian gives to their pastor? Let's talk about that real quick out of our verses tonight. What does a church give to its pastor? First of all, there are three exhortations given to the Christian regarding a proper attitude to the spiritual leadership that God places in their lives. And one of the things as a pastor, it's not I'm preaching we have a problem. I'm just helping us learn. Because see, one of the things I've taught my children is whoever their pastor is, here's how you need to treat them. I may not always be your pastor. God may move you somewhere else. He may put you in a different city, a different town, and somebody else serve in your life. And you know what? We want to be the right kind of people so that we honor God's man. Amen? That's what we want to do. What does a church give its pastor? First of all, respect. Notice verse 12. He said, And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. That word know means to see. It means to perceive. It means to recognize. One of the funniest things that you do out on visitation, you're knocking doors, and you say, man, you say, sir, ma'am, you know, we're out. We believe we're the friendliest church in town, and we're out from Calvary Baptist Church, and we're inviting folk to our church, this, that, and the other. You know, oh, I have a church. Really? Where you go? Such and such church. And I say, really? What's their pastor's name? Well, I don't remember. That's where I go. I remember knocking doors near my old church, and I'll never forget. I mean, I was just right down the street, and they said, yeah, I go to that church right up there on the hill. I said, you do? I said, yeah. I said, well, what's his pastor's name? Well, it was me. He said, well, I don't know, but that's where I go to church. I said, wow. It's more than just knowing his name. You know, in the early church, there wasn't a large number of trained preachers from which a congregation could call a man to be their pastor. The church at Thessalonica was only just months old. Probably somebody in that church that was in the church that was saved under the preaching of the Apostle Paul had become the pastor of this church in a very short space of time. They knew him. They had maybe some of them worked with him. They had known him. He'd probably been in that city all his life. They knew everything about him. You know what Paul says? I want you to know him. I want you to recognize the person that God's placed in your life and the role that he's given them as the spiritual leader among his people. And you know what God's saying? He said, I want you to respect them. God's saying, I place my hand on them, and they labor among you. Now look what he says in verse 13, and to esteem them very highly. That means to place or hold them in highest regard. It means to consider or pay attention to value or respect their leadership, to encourage them and care for them. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm saying respect me. I'm not saying that. I think that even there are times that men fill the office of a president, and I don't particularly care for them, but I respect the office of a president. There may be people that serve in our community. Maybe they're even in law enforcement. They may not be the nicest people you'll ever come in contact with. And maybe you think they're rude when they gave you the ticket. But you still respect that uniform that they wear. We hold them in high regard because of the office that they hold. It's not as much the man as it is the office, but yet I want to be a man in the office that you can respect. That's my desire. I believe it's something that you earn. It's something that it's not demanded. It's earned. And I trust in the 13 years that I've been here and the 10 years that I've served, almost 11 come March as pastor, that I've earned your respect in some form, some fashion, because that sure is my heart. Then, number two, God said, I want you to do it in love. He goes on to say in verse number 13, he said, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Can I say something without being unkind? I'm a preacher, okay? And you'll never hear me call another preacher by their first name in public. If I'm preaching in their church, you know what I call them? Pastor. I never call them by their first name. I don't even call them brother in their first name. You know why? I respect the office. Let me encourage you that whether it be the men who serve on our staff, me, don't allow your children just to come up and say, hey, so-and-so, and call them by a first name. Put a brother in front of it or a pastor in front or something that gives some respect so that that child learns to respect the men of God that are in their lives. I think you need to be careful that we don't step into a place that we shouldn't step by being so familiar that we lose sight of the place and the responsibility and the office that God has given to the men of God. And let me just encourage you about that. I think that's important. Is it because they're better than everybody else? Absolutely not. It's because they hold an office that we want to have respect for. Wouldn't we agree with that? Don't we want our president, whoever that person is, to be respectable? Absolutely. And don't we want to respect their office? Absolutely. Well, if we do that on a human sense, how much more should we do that on a biblical sense of a local church? Wouldn't you all agree with that? And teach your children those things and help them to honor those that God places in their lives. And of course, we do that by example, don't we? We do that by example. And I practice it. I'm talking to a guy and I'm amongst his people. I'll never call him by his first name. I'll always call him pastor or preacher and use his name because I want to respect him. Even if he's younger than me. Even if he's younger than me. I'll do that. And then love. Notice the Bible said in love. Not only were they to respect him, but they were to value him with a warm heart of affection as we labor together. And all of that. And I'm going to tell you, I'm probably one of the most blessed pastors in America. I have the privilege of pastoring the greatest church in the world. And the greatest church family, the hardest working church family. I don't know a better church than Calvary Baptist Church. And I want to thank you for how you've respected me and loved me and valued me these years that I've been your pastor. And I want to say thank you for that. I don't know that there's a more loving, caring, and personally encouraging group of people anywhere in the world. You make it a joy to pastor this church. And I just want to tell you that. On a regular basis, I hear horror stories from pastors, how they've been treated by the congregation they pastor. You know what? I'm real thankful I don't have any horror stories to tell. And notice, here's why God says do it. For their work's sake. A congregation is to respect and love their pastor for what he does, the role he fills, the ministry he performs. It helps us to keep our perspective right. Okay? Don't love him, but don't lift him. And here's, let me understand what I mean by that. Be careful that your allegiance is to the Lord. Amen? And sometimes if we're not careful, there's people, when I pastored and I came to Calvary, they're not even in church anymore. When I came to Calvary and I left Temple Baptist Church where I was 16 years, they're not even church anymore. You know what they said? They said, well, if he's not a pastor, I'm not coming. I'm not going to be there. They're not even church. Brother Bixler is one of the finest men that I know who pastors my former church in Illinois. I mean, he preached in our college. Every year. A great preacher, good man, godly man. Have the utmost, he's preached in our church. And I went to him and I told him, I said, listen, I said, you got a wonderful pastor. You need to love him and support him. Well, it'll never be the same. And I'm like, so you're going to be out of the will of God. You know what you are? You're a man follower. You're not a God follower. I don't want you to follow me in the sense of lifting me and following men rather than God. Amen? how important that is. And make sure, listen to me. If you get your eyes on a man, I'll let you down. You know why? Because I'm made out of the same stuff you are. At my best, I'm just an imperfect man, and I fail. And if you follow men, you know what's going to happen? You'll get disillusioned, and they'll let you down. And that's why we ought to keep our eyes on God and lift Him up. Amen? Love you, Pastor, but lift up the Savior. And then you understand we love Jesus too. You understand what I mean by that. Because that's so important. And why do you do it? For their work's sake. Let me give you the third thing and I'm done tonight. What does a pastor give to his church? He gives shepherding, leadership, and he's an example to his flock. What does a church give back? Respect, no matter who their pastor is. Respect and love. And I'm going to tell you, every one of these men know this. When I took the leadership of our church, and every one of these guys that have come on staff since I've been here, I've told them this, and they know this. And they can tell you I've said this. I'll look at them and I'll say, let me just tell you something. Your undying loyalty is to Jesus Christ. I said, if you ever know that I'm immoral, unethical, and in serious doctrinal error, you are bound by God to make it known. Amen? Because I'm not above the Bible. They're bound by, I tell them that. They'll tell you I told them that. I expect these men to follow my leadership, to be loyal to, but not their undying loyalties to Jesus Christ. And every one of our undying loyalty ought to be to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? I don't know if it's helpful tonight, but it's sort of where the Lord led me. And it's not because I don't feel respected or loved, because I do. But whoever fills this pulpit, years down the road, years and years down the road, hopefully when I, yeah, y'all with me, years, y'all following me, years. Okay, I'm not preaching the message because I'm going anywhere, because I'm not. Nobody's knocking on my door, and I don't want them knock on my door. I'm happy, okay? But whoever that fills this pulpit, you ought to respect them, and you ought to love them, and you ought to follow them if they're God's man. Amen? And notice what verse 13 says, and be at peace among yourselves. You know, when you first read that statement, you think about, you know, about being peaceful. You think, well, that's sort of odd. You wonder what it has to do with being a member of a local church and following the leadership of the church, and what does that have to do with the membership appreciating and supporting their pastor? Do you know, when a church follows the Lord by following the leadership of their pastor, there is a sense of peace and unity and harmony that will pervade that fellowship of believers. You know what? We're all going in this. We're laboring together with God. That's the picture. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, it breaks my heart to see and hear power struggles that go on in certain churches. Congregations fussing and fuming and fighting while a lost world dies and goes to hell. I'm glad that that's not an atmosphere at Calvary Baptist Church, aren't you? We've been unusually blessed through all these years to have a unity that comes from the Lord. And you know what? With God's help, I sure want to do my part, and I know you do, to keep it that way. Amen? Let me just bear my heart with you. It sure is my heart's desire to be the kind of pastor that you can respect and love and follow. I'm not going to be a perfect man. I sure want to be a better man, but I won't be a perfect man. Would you be willing to ask God to let it be your heart's desire to respect and follow and love your pastor? That there might be a continued sense of harmony, that we might labor together and accomplish that God has for us. That we can have impact for God. It's not that I don't think we do. I just want to continue being that kind of pastor. And I believe you want to continue being that kind of people as we labor together with God.
I close with Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind. Listen to this, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together. That means we're harnessed together in the work of God. Sort of reminds me of a couple mules or horses. Horses sounds better than mules, don't it? Mules are stubborn and we're not stubborn. A couple of horses in the traces together. And I've never plowed with horses. My granddaddy, he'd talk to me about it, you know, and he'd talk about, you know, G and haw and all this, and one goes left, one goes right, and I can't ever remember which is G and which is haw. But I can tell you this, if you've got one horse G and another hawing, you're not going to do much plowing. But if you've got them both going in the same direction, you sure can get a whole lot done. And I'm going to tell you what, our world needs Calvary Baptist Church. Our nation needs Calvary Baptist Church. Our children need Calvary Baptist Church. I need Calvary Baptist Church. You need Calvary Baptist Church because God placed you here. You're here because you said, this is where God's placed me. This is where God's planted me. Let's join together and labor together with the Lord in this day, this hour, to continue to accomplish that God's given us. Pray for me that I can be the kind of pastor that you can respect and love and follow. I need your prayers. And then let's every one of us labor together to value one another, love one another, and follow God's will for our lives as a church. Amen. Let's do that together. I believe we have wonderful days ahead of us. I believe there's folks that God wants to use right here in this church to do great things for Him. Let's make ourselves available, amen? Let's do it. For God's glory. For God's glory. Amen. I don't know what God may have said to you tonight, but I tell you what, every day of my life I pray for this church. Every day of my life I'm praying for people within this church. I have people every day of my life that tell me they're praying for me. You don't know what that means to me. You know what it means to my wife, our family. We're so thankful for you, and we love you. And maybe tonight you just want to slip forward and say, God, I want you to labor together with you at Calvary Baptist Church for it to be everything you want it to be in this day, this hour. Well, God's spoken to your heart, but if He has, won't you come and talk to Him about it tonight? Or maybe you have a need to bring to the Lord. Or maybe you're not sure you're saved. There'll be people here to help you. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Brother Dan.